Okay, academic oversight. We met in February, and it was kind of a funny in-between time because NWA was still in progress, and we didn't have pandemic or panoramic results. We talked about attendance getting better in February than it was in January, anecdotally. We talked about how challenging it was for coaching to be happening because of Daniel's presence in the classroom. At the last meeting, we did not have the NWEA results, and we do now. We have not done any analysis of them. As Christian said, they're brand new, but I have them so we can share, and I will share, and screen sharing is disabled, so I can't share. Okay. Can people see my screen? Yes, okay. So I never actually use PowerPoint, so I'm, yeah. Anyway, so just an overview of what the NWEA is. We've all sort of seen it before, and we have our targets, and the results were, so these are comparing the last 2 years' results with this year, both fall and winter. And it seems like overall, the results are lower than we would expect. And as Krishna said, we haven't had any time to dive into them or discuss them with teachers or anything like that. So we are just looking at them without any analysis. That's the growth. Not many students are meeting their winter-to-winter growth targets. So our math detail. It's not great. And I can just keep moving through these. Like I said, I don't have any real comment on them, we're just looking at them. The math by grade, the good news is the middle school is doing really well. And then the reading detail is pretty comparable to the math. And I can go back to any of the slides if people have. Like I said, I'm mostly just sharing for the sake of sharing the data. Again, the middle school targets are stronger than any of the other levels. And so we're going to dig into them at the next academic committee and sort of look at what we need to look at. If anyone has any questions, I'm not sure how much I can answer because I saw these for the first time last night, but people have comments or discussion or anything. And I can go back to any slides if people want to go back to slides.
I'm not going to express this well, but in previous years, I think we looked at, we kind of like normed for classes graduating into different classrooms. So in other words, like the first through third grade classroom has kids that were previously TKK last year, right? So I'd be interested to know, I mean, it's probably a black box, right? But how much of a role COVID had on last year with those kids moving up into a classroom that you're kind of comparing with in terms of their previous growth, if that makes sense. So,
I was going to ask, and this might be a question for you, Krishna, just like, so the committee hasn't had a chance to look at the results yet. Have the teachers yet had a chance to, right? Teachers haven't had a chance to look at the results yet. So this is all pretty like raw data. What does it look like from here? Like what happens with teachers? What do teachers do with this? Yeah.
So I mentioned that in the head of schools report,
yeah,
if you recall, which is that we've got some time scheduled on the calendar with our PMA partners to look through the data, to like parse out a little bit more information and to make a specific plan of how to address that and work with teachers directly. And we have, there is some other like internal data that's not here on these slides. And I'd say in general, like, you know, this is extremely fresh, like we're talking days. And so like maybe next time we, it would be better for us to just wait and bring it to the next meeting when we're able to share a little bit more. But we also know that it's been, there's been some history of like not having it in a time away. So just wanna, you know, we do have it here. And I don't think any of us, you know, we're not in a space where we've had time to work internally with our staff to talk about what those next steps are, but that is something that we'll be more prepared for at the next academic meeting and at the next board meeting.
Does anyone else have any other comments or questions or Gita? Yeah.
I just had a, does this organization provide, like not just these results, but then also like targeted solutions for perhaps some of these numbers, or is this just providing us with the score?
A lot of other data that we can look into, and a lot of specific like individual student to student, classroom to classroom ways to like aggregate the data. So there's actually some really cool tools available to teachers to allow them to like do flexible groupings based on how students scored similarly on various like concepts. But it's not exactly like a strategy map for the whole school to address the achievement gap in the middle of a pandemic.
I think they do, like they have trainings on like, yeah, different ways you can like analyze the data. They'll kind of, they'll put their thumb on like, you know, well, let's look at it if you compare this set of students with how that same set of students did, you know, the last winter or things like that. And so there's some training there. But I think it's our partners like at National Center for Monitoring the Public Sector that we probably lean on more, right, on like next steps for like what a teacher might do differently with a kiddo.
Right, though in those meetings, they may use some of those other specific tools that are available to teachers in order to look at individual like trends within their own classrooms.
Okay, thank you.
I do feel like there's a lot of complexity in NWEA over the last few years. There has been nothing that has been consistent in administration of this test in the last, you know, 2.5 years. And there's some pieces to parse out there to figure out like what, it's hard to know what impact all of the variables that we've all been living through have on each round of this. And
if I understand correctly, during the pandemic year, the kids were administered the tests over Zoom, right?
Yep.
So we're looking at this year compared to numbers that were where the test was administered over Zoom?
Yes.
With parents close by frequently is the other thing that was true last year.
Got it. Thank you.
So like 100% of students took it in a separate, what we call separate setting, right? Like an isolated space with like in theory less distractions. Not always true, right? Depends on the setting, but it does make the comparison complicated. That being said, I think this is still providing us with like really important and usable data that we're gonna like dig through to figure out like, well, what do we do here and now? And we certainly are like, you know, excited to like dig into that and figure out how to use this data to help inform some next steps in classrooms.
And then Kara, you also said you didn't have the Panorama survey. Do you all think, what do you expect that in by March?
I think, Krishna, the discussion we had was that we would expect the students by March, but not necessarily the parents.
I might have it for the board meeting, but for academic, we're planning for students at least, and then hopefully, I think we probably have it all for the board meeting, though.
Awesome. Thank you. Just so Davis doesn't echo, are there other questions or public comments for Academic Committee? All right, Kara, do we stay with you?
Yep, I get to do FAC as well. Okay, so the FAC, we met in on February. We talked about sort of future planning for our spring events and anything we want to do to welcome families back or freshly to the school or back to the school in the summer and the fall. At the last FAC meeting, some of the parents present talked a little bit about their concerns over the potential lifting of the mask mandate. And how that affects schools, which we know it doesn't yet. We also talked some about ways that parents could support all students, but specifically the middle school classrooms, since the middle school classrooms will be growing next year, and if there are ways parents can be involved more hands-on in supporting the class in general. Recent things for the FAC is the Kindness Week. I already thanked Sita and Ms. Jess, but that was a lot of work on both parts, and we appreciate their work. We had Dr. Rogers, our third session on February 5th. It was well attended for a Saturday at 10 a.m. There were some interesting conversations that occurred during and after the session. Upcoming things for the FAC, we have morning coffee tomorrow under the pergola. If parents want to come and have coffee with us, that would be lovely. I think we have meetings calendared for the rest of the year, but I think we're doing a little bit of a shift of when they are to sort of attempt to get maximum content and engagement for the meeting. So I know there's one in mid-March, but I don't know the exact date. And our final parent session with Dr. Rogers-Ard is on April 19th at 5:30. In terms of fundraising, our Cards for a Cause raised just over $1,000, I think. Thanks everyone who participated. It was a fun, easy lift. Upcoming fundraisers, the spring auction is still being planned out. We have our plant sale and bake sale on April 23rd. And our newly evolving move-a-thon, which Greg would like to discuss.
I just want to, again, I'm excited. We're planning for it to kind of be a big spring event, kind of like how it used to be back on the old Brand campus. Obviously, we all have learned things could change if we can't do a big, you know, outdoor event, but hopefully we will be able to. And you know, there will still be a walkathon. I think a walkathon is still going to be a central component of it. I think it's important to hang on to that history. I'm also thinking about hanging on, you know, to the different art fest aspects of it for sure as well, but also just thinking about as a, you know, a chance for like movement of all kinds, you know, not just walking, and getting out. And so over the last like 3 weeks or so, Sita and I have been going into Amethyst on Friday mornings and working with about maybe 8 or 9 middle schoolers, and so far all of them have started to develop and plan a station or activity that they want to have at the move-a-thon and run at the move-a-thon, at least for part of it. And so actually tomorrow morning when I go back, we're going to kind of revisit that, make sure every time it's like, are you still into that? You know, these are middle schoolers, right? It's like, are you still wanting to do that? Are you going to still run this basketball skills competition or whatever it is? And so far, so good. But I think the next step will be that they'll actually need to go to their colleagues in Amethyst and in Upper Elementary and basically recruit about double the number of kiddos and help, like, basically, like, I helped you think through one station. Now you got to help another person think through a station. So that'll be a big stretch. So we'll see if we can do it. But if we did that, we'd have double the number of stations and we'd be off to the races. So it's going to be a good day. It's May 14th, 9 to 2. Come. We'll have, we'll invite, you know, students new to the school, all the folks that are already at the school. I hope Krishna will invite the teachers and, it'll be fun. And Sita is like leading up all the parts that I could never do, like the actual walkathon laps things, and she's thinking about coffee for the grown-ups, and she's thinking about food trucks and t-shirts and popsicles. And then I'm kind of thinking about like some of the other stations and stuff, and trying to get the kids involved. The idea being there that if the kids are running it, they'll want to show up. And if they want to show up, then the other kids will want to show up. So that's kind of and then if the kids want to show up, they'll make their parents show up and buy all the baked goods and the plants or whatever else it is that's happening too. So that's Move-a-thon.
Thank you, Greg. Does anyone have any questions about FAC related stuff or comments? Keisha, if you wanted to add anything.
Right. If there are no other questions for FAC, we will move on to exec committee. Christina?
Yeah, we had a short meeting. Am I? Is everyone else? Okay. I thought I was hearing myself. Okay. Had a short meeting this time. We discussed some board recruitment of new board members, which we'll be talking about later as well. Discussed the LCAP, which has already been covered. And I think briefly touched on the head of school evaluation process, which is in process like it is. We had done both some listening sessions as well as I think surveys of staff, and we're discussing just that process. Greg and Davis, I don't think there was anything else that we covered, but let me know if I missed anything. Oh, and there's a safety plan, right? Wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, we discussed safety plan, which is we're going to be taking action on later tonight. The only thing I wanted to share was just that if it's that time of year, if you haven't done your Form 700, it's due, I think, by April 1st or something like that, but plan on bringing it to the March meeting. Christian's got at least one of them turned in. And the form is, it's easily Googleable. I think I've got the old one linked on the agenda, but just make sure you do the latest one It'll clearly say that it's through December 31st, 2022. Any questions or public comment on the executive committee report? All right, Davis doesn't want to echo. I think he's telling. There. I think he wants me to keep this moving. So we'll go on to the next item, which is a vote. We're actually take a vote here on a 2-year board membership term for Mr. Donald Williams. Donald, welcome. Hi, you've been here many meetings and all tonight. Hello.
Hello.
So as Christina just shared, the committee discussed Donald's candidacy at the last meeting. Donald's a parent at the school, a lawyer, and he's done one-on-ones with Davis and me and Daniel and Krishna and maybe some other board members too. I'm excited for him to be here. He keeps showing up to the meetings. He's clearly proven that he's interested and he's willing to come and do the work. And so I would love to make a motion to give Donald Williams a board membership term for 2 years, and it would start March 1st.
I would like to second that motion.
Is there any discussion or public comments or any statements anybody wants to make prior to voting? All right. Sounds good. Christina, how do you vote?
Aye. Yes.
Davis.
Aye.
This is Greg. I vote aye. Kara.
I wish I could vote aye, but I'm abstaining.
I appreciate that, Kara. We had an address snafu on the agenda for everybody who's wondering. So Kara is not part of quorum tonight and not voting, and I appreciate it. You're doing the right thing. Sarah.
Aye.
And Jan and Maru are absent. And Donald, you're not yet on the board, so you don't get to vote. But it is passed, so you will be on the board on March 1st. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Hey, welcome.
Very exciting.
Thank you.
And yeah, very cool. So with that, we have the next item, which is just around our chance if we need different committee members or officers. Donald, you know, starting March 1st, have you already done some thinking about a committee you'd like to hop onto?
I believe I spoke about academic committee before, and then if there's anything, you know, concerning outreach, you know, those two I'm particularly interested in.
Okay. So I would say, let's see. So we're now eight, starting March 1st, we're going to be eight folks on the board. So five makes quorum starting March 1st for our full board meeting. So if we put four of you on the committee, that's fine. We can put four of you on a committee, but to have a meeting, you need three of the four of you to show up to the committee meetings. So Sarah and Kara, you guys are on the committee now. Do you think you'll be good to have at least three of you show up? Yeah? Anyone want to make a motion?
I would like to motion to have Donald Williams be a member of academic committee.
Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Sarah makes a second. Is there any other discussion or public comment to add Donald to the academic committee starting March 1st? All right. Christina, how do you vote?
Aye.
Davis.
Aye.
This is Greg. I'll vote aye. Kara.
Abstain.
Sarah.
Aye.
And that's it. It passes. You're on the academic committee. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
Does anyone else need a change? Anyone need to get voted onto a committee or really hankering to have a board officer role or something?
I'm going to throw out there, since we're an executive, that we are going to be, we're actively in need in the slightly longer run of somebody to step up into the board chair position. And I might invite many of you to meet with me about that as a possibility.
You should just consider everyone to be your board chair. Run them all through the gauntlet.
I think, yeah, that's likely. Actually,
yeah, and then you can plan. You know,
so it's because we have a few other people who are cycling off, who have done multiple terms, and I'll be open. Christina and Jan are both completing their second terms, 4 years in June, and will be likely cycling off of the board. Davis has been asking to leave the board for quite some time now, and so we're going to be looking at very different board membership, probably starting in July. And while we might be able to get Davis to complete his term through October, I think that the humane and kind thing for the rest of us to do would be to determine somebody who can take over at least the board chair position. Starting in August of next year, we usually don't have a meeting in July, so having Davis complete us through the end of this school year, and I recognize that all of the members that we'll have remaining on the board feel new, with the exception feel like you're new and might feel like you might not be ready, and I'm still going to talk to you about that.
You're all ready. You got this.
And like, I know we've got Greg, and of course I can make him be board chair, but he's a really good board secretary, you guys. He'll do all the work he will be all of your executive functioning, and it works great.
I will say being board chair is made really easy by having Greg as secretary. and it is awesome working with Krishna, and she makes it very easy to be board chair. So all you really have to do is conduct a meeting, and that's about it, because Greg does everything for you. It's pretty amazing.
So what you're saying is Greg does the job.
I might not be saying that, but I might be saying that.
I was going to ask, is that how it's supposed to be?
I would challenge that to some extent. Greg is very supportive in all of the like logistical and administrative tasks that are required. But when it comes down to the specific things that I need from the board chair, like I'm going to reach out to the board chair. And so from the perspective of like decision making, like Davis does get random texts from me about, you know, financial things, about legal things, about HR. Like there's things that come up where I need somebody to step into that role. It is fewer and further between, and I think what Davis is saying is that primarily you're facilitating a functional and like legal meeting under Brown Act, and that's the main role, and that like me and Greg are both very supportive of that being easy for you. And I don't go to Greg if it's like if I need the board chair.
Yeah, I don't even remember how long I've been sitting in this position, but when I stepped into the board chair position, it was a little bit more difficult just in terms of what we were going through as a school. In terms of some of the decisions that had to be made, it was definitely heavier lifting than it is now. We have a pretty fairly well-oiled machine now, right? Like we have this board on track mechanism, which is awesome. And Greg uses it very, very well to keep us all on task. You know, we have processes set up where we didn't have before. So a lot of it is just asking Greg, what is that process again? And how do we go through it? As opposed to trying to determine what the process is from scratch. So yeah, it really isn't that hard. It's being board chair is fun.
Any of you, all of you are qualified for the job. So I just wanted it on the horizon because it is upcoming, and I am going to like probably reach out to have like private meetings with all of you at some point over the next couple of months. I'm a little bit busy right now, and it probably won't be immediately.
I was just going to add in after all that, that if anyone wants to be secretary, that is also always on the table as well. And I am happy to show you. It is also not that difficult either. It's the same thing every month. The Brown Act is your friend, is what I would tell you. I think we should move on, though.
Yes.
All right. So we're in item 7, other business, Oakland and California updates. I have a few updates to share, and then others may as well. I was going to start kind of, let's see, countywide. Just wanted to say at the county level, a lot of countywide charters are going through enrollment-related material revisions, including us. And so you can see that on like the county agendas on recently, the board agendas, and then you'll see ours on the upcoming ones. They also, the county board approved their own redistricting maps. So that happened. I don't know. I don't think they changed all that dramatically from the last 10 years maps. At the state level, I mentioned in the finance committee a bunch of the state bills going through, but one more I wanted to mention, not totally related to finance. I put an EdSource article in the board packet about it, which is a dyslexia screening bill that might get passed that would require dyslexia screening across all, of California's public school kids, which is, I think, pretty exciting. It's like a 20-minute screener. And it doesn't diagnose a child with dyslexia. It kind of just prompts a school to look a little deeper and like figure out if a child needs more testing. And there are probably the main, I guess, if there's got to be a controversy over the bill, the main bill is just the idea of would it over-identify English learners who aren't dyslexic but might appear. And so they're trying to work on that and address that at the forefront. And then I guess the absolute main thing I wanted to name as like a city, as a citywide Oakland update, has just been since the last time we met as a board, OUSD's board has met multiple times, and I'm sure you've been reading in the news and seen on social media that, I mean, the city of Oakland has been going through one of the hardest times of public education that I have ever witnessed in my 20 odd years here. The board has voted to close schools. The process has been very fast in terms of at least this official part of the process. The meetings have been full of public comment, very passionate public comment, hours and hours and hours, universally against the school closures. There have been people on hunger strikes. The city council has been gotten involved and passed a resolution. The Alameda County Board of Ed actually got involved to some extent and passed a resolution. The local state assembly folk, Mia Bonta and Buffy Wicks, have gotten involved and have tried to fast track legislation in Sacramento to try and make a different outcome happen. So just wanted to just make sure everyone was aware, well aware, that this has all been happening. We are not one of the schools being closed. That every school, it impacts students, it impacts families, it impacts staff. People have colleagues at these schools. People have family members who attend these schools. People have, people went to these schools. So these are, no matter how you, whatever angle you have on it, like, lots of people are impacted, and it's just a hard, and it's on top of everything else that's going on for so many families. So it's just a really, really difficult time. So just wanted to make sure we were well aware about that. So those are some state, city, and county stuff. I don't know if other folks have other things they were noticing or saw in the news.
Krishna, I was just wondering, like Greg said, it's happening to the city, it's happening in the ecosystem. It's not an isolated thing that we are removed from in any way. And just wondering how you're seeing that show up for families or kids or staff at our school, and any support that's needed.
I haven't seen, honestly, it's hard to know how to measure. It's hard to know how to ask. I know that, I appreciated Davis, as board chair, sent out a community message, and I think the board has actually taken some role in that way, into like collecting some feedback or having a space for people to share. I haven't heard any staff or parents or kids talk about it in all of my conversations, if I'm going to be honest. And I think part of that is it's easy for us to like forget that we're part of the greater community and be a little bit insular, and particularly in this tough stretch of the school year that we've been in as a staff and as a community, I think has contributed to some challenge there. I think our internet might be a little bit spotty, but.
Well, I'll just build on that, we did, the board put out a message, we created a space, like if folks needed to ask questions or something, we could respond to people. There hasn't been a ton of uptick on that. But I do know that we have parents at the school who work for OUSD.
We do.
Right. We have staff who used to work for OUSD. And we have parents at the school who have kids here and in OUSD schools. So it's just, we just are all connected. Any other comments or questions on 7A? Otherwise, we can get into the last few things here.
I'll just mention that our current screening does screen for dyslexia already. So we already universally screen for dyslexia.
There you go. So we're already in compliance with the future law of the land, if it happens. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from January 27th?
I will vote motion to approve those meetings from January 27th.
Is there a second? Let's see. It's got to be.
I'll second it.
Great. Thank you,
Christina.
was gonna say it's gonna be it's just yeah. Christina, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Davis.
Aye.
Kara.
Abstain.
Sarah.
Aye.
And then we also had a special meeting in February. I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
I will second it.
Christina, how do you vote?
Aye.
Davis.
Aye.
Kara.
Abstain.
And Sarah.
Aye.
All right. The general consent report, I just want to clarify something on it. The comprehensive school safety plan that's linked on the agenda, there's two things on it. There's the safety plan and the second interim. And what we're voting on is the ones that are in the documents, not the one that's linked on the agenda for the safety plan. So I just wanted to be crystal clear that that's the motion. So I'll move to approve the consent report with the document that are in with the files that are listed under other documents.
I'll second it, Christina.
All right. Is there any questions or comments about those? Awesome. Christina, how do you vote?
Yes.
Davis?
Davis.
Aye.
This is Greg. I vote yes. Kara?
Abstain.
And Sarah?
Aye.
Awesome. Any new business for future meetings? Alrighty, then we're gonna go into closed session tonight in just a moment on two items, public employee performance evaluation for the head of school, and also conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, one potential case, and then at the end we'll come back out, and if there's any actions, we report out all the actions and all that stuff. So with that, I'm going to pause the recording at 7:36. Oh, actually, no, before, is there any public comment on either of those two items, on the public employee performance evaluation or the conference with legal counsel? Anyone want to make any public comments on either of those?
Sounds exciting.
Thanks, Donald. You'll be in the fun next month, but not yet. Not yet. All right, I'm gonna pause with no other public comments. I will pause the recording now.
Recording in progress.
Hello, everyone. We are returning to open session. There were no actions taken, and we will adjourn this meeting at 8:06 p.m. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.